It should be a very, very good new year ahead for all of you. I certainly wish that and hope that for myself. Now, the West is getting pounded. A powerful storm sent rivers, creeks way over their banks into cities, set off mudslides, blocked major highways all across Northern California on Saturday. At least a dozen people had to be rescued. So it's bad news in California, and there's another storm on the way. Now, briefly, I would like to say it looks like 2005 was dominated by Hurricane Katrina. This is according to 1,500 people who responded to a LexisNexis survey. About 97% of Americans considered the August hurricane that devastated New Orleans the most talked about event in their homes. And I believe that, certainly, followed by the gas hikes, that's real personal, the war in Iraq, and the tsunami, of course. The London bombings in July took five, just ahead of the U.S. Supreme Court nominations. Two human interest stories were next on the list. Remember Terri Schiavo? And, of course, Natalie Holloway, a missing teenager. Now, with regard to the predictions that we took last night, a few corrections, actually all on the plus side, really. Dear Art, from the 2005 predictions, I believe it was number 51 or 52 that you read last night. Prediction was a celebrity has a tree accident. Well, if you consider an athlete a celebrity, then it was a ding, ding, ding. Former Steeler football player Steve Corson died when he was crushed felling a tree on his property in November of 2005. So that is now corrected also. The giant sucking sound referred to that I couldn't recall, I should have known. It was, of course, the Christian rapture, so that would be a bonk, and then another ding, ding, ding on technology. It says, Arthur, sorry, Toshiba and IBM have indeed implemented the cell professor, the cell processor professor. The next generation 9 processor computer chip, which can be as much as 100 times faster than current technology. I think the prediction deserves a big ding, ding, ding. Okay, so I'm up for that. Two dings and a bonk. And I had already bonked the large sucking sound. Therefore, we add two dings to the list. Now, we will continue to allow you to make predictions tonight. Here are the rules. Only one prediction per customer. That's all. Only one served. One prediction. So make it a big one, a good one. No email predictions, no fast blast predictions, only on-air predictions that are numbered so they can be recorded, given a number, and then stored in the Bell family vault for yet another year. Please think very hard about your prediction before you make it. Don't just dial to get on the air. You know, try to draw something from your psychic center. I believe that all of you, or many of you, percentage-wise, are above average in terms of the national population with regard to, ESP and remote viewing and all the things that are covered and I know followed by many on this program. So obviously you're going to do better than the average, and you have. One last rule, no predictions of assassinations of U.S. politicians. That gets me a visit by the Secret Service. They've been here many times. I hate it, so I will bleep that out. Don't bother doing it. Beyond that, there are no rules. So when we resume with prediction number 67, we have to take a break. They get so touchy about these breaks. It's like, Art, quit forgetting the commercial. So let's take the break, get it done, and begin with number 67. I kind of remember as a child, when I could begin remembering such things, that I wondered many times, would I ever see the year 2000? The year 2000. It seemed a million miles away at the time. And now here we are with 2006 rushing at us here on the West Coast. So let us proceed then with predictions. This will be the final night. It is a yearly event. Many times, many programs, in fact, most all of them have some sort of expert on to make predictions. This program is no different. It will. But really, this is the only opportunity for the audience in general to take their best shot at it. So again, I implore you to please consider carefully the prediction that you're going to make. Don't make it a wish. Don't make it a hope. Don't make it a dream. Don't make it a political or religious statement. Instead, make it, you know, from your psychic center, what you really feel is something that's going to happen in 2006. With that, first time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Is this me?
That is you, indeed. Where are you?
My name is Donald, and I'm calling from Burien, Washington.
All right, Donald.
Seattle.
Well, welcome to the program.
KVI,
yes.
Thank you. It's an honor, Art. I'd like to predict that the astronomers of the world, or whoever gets the information first, will find two huge bodies beyond Pluto. They will be able to verify the locations of Maldek that has been previously known as Marduk, or the...
All right, I have a question for you. Haven't they already... I vaguely recall they found something or a couple of somethings beyond Pluto already, haven't they?
Well, yes, they sure have, Art. Sedna is a planet, but that's beyond the orbit of Maldek.
All right, so you're saying these are going to be two additional objects.
Right. And,
okay.
One of them is 50 times bigger than Earth, and the other, Maldek, is 88 times the size of Earth.
Well, how would they have missed that until now?
Well, that's the problem.
Oh, it is a big problem. It's a big problem because there are stars and other, stars out there, and they would, even if they don't see the planets, something the size you're talking about would you know, black other things out as it went by, and I don't see how they could miss it.
Well, it's on a very strange elliptical orbit. It's on an angle from where most of the planets travel.
Okay.
Actually, I've been listening to you for about, 15 years, and starting in 1991, I've been reading many books on astronomy and found out that astronomers have no system whatever to the solar system.
All right, well, I'm going to have to hold it there. I've recorded it as number 67, but I think you were quite clear, and your answer was a good one, the elliptical orbit being the reason that they have not yet identified it. That would do the trick, all right. So you never know. You never know about these things. The man could be dead right. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, I feel those same feelings you felt about the year 2000 and as a little kid, and there it was.
Yeah, you remember that thinking, man, can you imagine making it to 2000?
2000, exactly. and boy, man, time flies so fast.
Well, it does, and how many people get to be around for a 1,000-year change? Not too many.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. Okay, well, on to my prediction.
Yes.
Well, my prediction is we will have a space disaster, not so much with the shuttle, but with the Mars reconnaissance orbiter that's going to hit in March, and I feel that something's going to go wrong. That's what we're going to be told, that something went wrong, and we're not going to get to the end of that.
Some kind of space disaster in 06, huh?
Yes. Having to do with the Mars mission.
The Mars mission. Do you have any idea at all what kind of disaster?
Well, they have a reconnaissance orbiter hitting in March of 2006, so that's what I'm predicting right there.
You think it'll crash into Mars?
No, I think they're going to give us some excuse that something went wrong.
There's been a lot of that. Oh, okay. I've got it. But there's been a lot of that with the Mars probes. Very suspicious things. Now, of course, we've got the rovers, and they've been quite successful. And so perhaps that erases some of the suspicion that was attached to what was going on with the extremely unlucky missions, both on the part of the U.S. and the USSR to Mars. I mean, everything kept going wrong. In some cases, they thought they had photographs of something closing in on some of the probes that ended up destroying themselves. I'll leave that in quotes. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, Ayat, would you do me a favor?
I don't know.
On your website, would you put on your address, because I got no way of calling, writing to you.
All right. Why don't I give it to you right now?
Oh, no, I got no pencil on that.
Well, it's not brain science. You'll be able to remember. Okay? ArtBell@AOL.com or ArtBell@Mindspring.com. Either one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right?
All right. Now, I predict that next year, NASA is going to start on it. I figured out how flying saucers work and all that.
You did?
Yeah. And they got two different systems that they work on. One is electric magnetic drive, and the other is an impulse drive. And I'm going to get a hold of NASA and see if they won't start to work on it next year.
Start to work on what?
A spaceship that can travel the whole universe.
And uses what, impulse?
It uses electrical impulse, and its electrical impulses comes from the Earth. It's natural. And you don't need many moving parts. But that's how the spaceships work.
Got it. All right. So NASA essentially locks on to what he feels the ETs are using, some kind of electrical impulse drive. Got it down, number 69. And west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once.
Hello?
Yes.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Almost went away there. Your first name is?
My name is Catherine. I'm calling from Santa Rosa, California.
Okay, Catherine.
All right. I have a prediction. I think in 2006, it will become public knowledge that Condoleezza Rice is expecting a baby. And I think the father will turn out to be a major figure in our current administration.
Oh, goodness.
But it's not who you might think, and I don't know exactly what that means, but that's how my vision came to me today.
That's the kind of thing that happens in Great Britain.
Well, it can happen here, too. I think that's the sort of thing that can happen anywhere.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you. So it's somebody in the current administration who will be the daddy.
Right. But then my vision, this came to me in the vision when I was exercising today, and it said, and the words, but it's not who you might think.
I don't know
what that means.
I don't either. But believe me, we've got it recorded as prediction number 70, and trust me, we're all going to be watching this one.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, take care. And, who do you suppose it might be? She predicts. Remember, these are only predictions, ladies and gentlemen, that Condi Rice will get pregnant, and it will be somebody in the current administration, not who you may think it is, though, whoever that might be. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Aaron from San Bernardino.
Okay.
Okay, my predictions about the Pope and where he's going to travel this year.
Oh.
And the first place he's going to travel is to Jerusalem, and then he'll come to California, Sacramento, I think he'll come for a building of a church in Sacramento.
Yes.
And he'll also talk about, like, a speech about the floods, and because the meat in Sacramento, California, will be very, like, scarce. And then after that, he'll go to
Now,
Cuba.
Is this a genuine prediction, or
yes.
have you gone on the net and looked at the Pope's travel itinerary?
No, I didn't. I haven't. I didn't even know that they had that on the internet.
Well, I don't either, but everything else is there, so
no.
I would imagine that would be. So you promise?
No, I promise.
That you have not done that?
No.
Okay. So okay. Jerusalem, that'll be a biggie.
Okay. And then I think he'll go to Cuba.
Okay, now that's enough. I mean, okay. if he makes Jerusalem, you win.
I know, but I just
And then if he goes to California from there, that's a double hitter.
Okay, and then also about the prediction number 51, how he that person said a celebrity.
Yes.
I think it's the reason why he said, like, about a tree. I think that's something that has to do with the Joshua tree, because that celebrity Bono wrote the CD.
Was it 51? Let me see.
Yeah, it was 51.
51, yeah, that's... No, Pope will pass away in May or June was 51.
Then 52.
It was 52, celebrity versus tree accident of some kind. And somebody has named, indeed, somebody who was hit by a tree. And so that definitely qualifies. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
It sure is a pleasure to speak with you.
Glad to have you.
I feel like a kindred spirit with you. I'm a cat guy with five cats.
You have five cats.
And I got my fifth before you got your fifth, but anyway.
It requires a substantial attention to keeping the cat box clean.
Right. I know how that goes.
Looks like a small sandbox, actually. Anyway, do you have a prediction for us?
Sure. My prediction is that Israel will launch a bombing attack against the West Bank of unprecedented scale, conventional bombs, and it will it'll just be with such magnitude that it will shock everybody.
All right, let me ask you this. Will it be in response to some provocation, or they'll just do it out of the blue?
Well, there's always provocation.
I mean, normally, unless something really awful happens, Israel does not act. I mean, it's very rare. They preempted a nuclear a facility, you'll recall, once. But, I mean, first acts on their part are pretty rare.
Well, it could be sparked by just about anything. You will be able to say that they were provoked when it happens, but... Actually, the consensus is going to end up being that they vacated their settlements in order to be able to do a really mass attack to where the people would not be in harm's way.
All right. Got it. That'll be, by the way, number 72, that Israel, for whatever reason, conducts a gigantic bombing campaign on the West Bank, and that could lead to God knows what, and he is the only one who knows. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Is that you?
It's me. Is
How
it,
about that?
Is it you, though?
Actually, I'm trying to figure that out.
Uh-huh. And where are you?
Where are we? We are in Massachusetts, Art.
We, huh?
Yes, my wife and I.
I see. This is a sort of a man and wife prediction.
Kind of, yeah.
Is your wife on the line?
Hi.
It is a man and wife prediction. Okay. All right. We're closing in here on the bottom of the hour. So what is it you two have cooked up?
Well, what we've cooked up, Art, is that our prediction for 2006 is that there are going to be restrictions on the Internet.
Oh, how are they going to do that?
Well, they've already tried to do that with the United Nations, and you're going to be seeing more of it as far as we are concerned. And the reason is because there's nothing more important to a world order than control
that's right.
The information.
That's right. Does this mean that they're going to stop people from selling little blue pills on the Internet?
I wish it were that simple.
I know. But instead, it'll be the New World Order beginning to close down some pathways and servers. Is that the idea?
Well, they've already done that, Art.
What have they closed?
Well, I mean, think about the Great Depression.
Yes.
The Great Depression was really about a land grab.
No. We're talking here about the Internet.
That's correct.
They've begun to close what on the Internet?
Well, what do you think the .com was about? The .com bust.
In review, the predictions you all made for 2005 were very dire. very apocalyptic. And I think that was probably due to the fact that we had just had the tsunami, and everybody was looking at this, just this horrible mess. And so they had a sort of an apocalyptic mood about them. And many of them, more than normal, I would say, are wrong. Now, contrasting that to this year's predictions thus far, have been very different. I mean, very different. Not the normal. I mean, of course, we get the earthquakes and volcanoes and floods and the rest of that. But they've been sort of all over the place and very interesting. So next year is going to be a lot of fun to review. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Raymond Sanchez from El Paso, Texas.
Yes.
I predict that the bird flu will become a serious epidemic in the United States. It will, like, mutate into a human flu.
So the bird flu hits the U.S.?
Yes, sir.
You think that's going to happen in 2006?
Late November or December of 2006.
Actually, being really honest with you, sir, what you just predicted is one of my greatest fears. I had to write down my greatest fears right now for us all. The bird flu would be at the top of my list. And the things I've done quite a bit of looking into it, and the mortality rate is just horrible, horrible. And so I think it's a very serious matter. If the bird flu got loose and became transmissible human to human, without question, what would you do?
I guess I would stay at home, trying to keep my immune system very high. Take vitamins and exercise, I guess.
Would you have the ability to stay away from everybody for, 3 to 6 months or something?
I would seriously try it. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know if I could either. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate sort of your prediction, and I hope and pray you are wrong. That really is very near the top of my concerns, my immediate concerns. Of course, I have other concerns about the environment and so forth, but this bird flu thing is a little scary. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art, and Happy New Year. This is Blair in Sedona.
Hello, Blair. Hold on a sec. Let me see if I can correct that. Okay, Blair, proceed.
Okay. My prediction is that there'll be periods of times on the planet where communication systems will stop altogether. Satellites, communication satellites will disappear.
Disappear?
Well, yeah.
Let's see. All right. Enlarge on that a little bit. When you say satellites are going to disappear, you mean they're going to malfunction? Do you mean that something is going to zap them out of space or what?
Probably could be everything you said. Now, I don't want to go too far out on a limb because last year I was one of the bonks. I was the one who predicted the fragments would cause spontaneous fires from Comet Tempo 1 being impacted.
Yeah, that one blew up in your face.
Well, I can tell it to the people in Oklahoma and Texas right now, though.
Well, yeah, I know. Those are not pieces of it. Yeah.
But the energy that is coming down is sort of discordant with those tornadoes in the middle of November.
Well, that's kind of a reach, brother.
Okay. But anyway, I'm just going to leave it at that and just see what happens. And, the glancing blow that hit Deep Impact probably saved us from all of the big stuff. If you look at the NASA website, we hit the third target, which is down toward the leg. And there are no photos. NASA's embargoing the photos. We can't see what's going on afterwards. $330 million.
All right, brother. 75 is your number, and we'll see how you do this year. He predicts mass communication outages, that sort of thing, satellites disappearing. And he didn't argue when I said, you mean zapped out of the sky? Well, yes. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell. You rock the radio world, dude.
Well, thank you.
Happy New Year from Cleveland, Ohio. This is Sue.
Hey, Sue.
My prediction, and I'm not saying this lightly, is something is going to happen in the United States where the UN is going to step in. And I say this only because of what I've seen since, like, Y2K.
Uh-huh.
I have a delivery job, and in Cleveland, we're like Detroit. We make cars and vans and stuff.
Right.
Always at night, in the middle of the night, there's always the van haulers. And there's all these white trucks going east on the highway, always. And you hardly ever see them during the daytime.
All right. Let me try and discern from you, if I can, what you think might happen. What could happen that would be serious enough in the U.S. to cause the rest of the world, in essence, to step in? What would it be?
Well, I'm not going to knock the government for Katrina, but they did a pretty poor job. Something like that, a natural disaster, some uprising in the United States because of the way things are going.
I guess it could happen.
You know, and where are they putting all these white vans? I've watched it for 4 years. Where are they going? Occasionally you'll see a blue one or a red one, but you see truckloads of them in a convoy heading east.
To the giant white van storage lot. I don't know.
And they don't have any markings on them whatsoever. It would be real easy for the UN to just stick a UN sticker right on it if they have to.
Well, since we supply the lion's share of funding for the UN, wouldn't you think we'd be aware of it?
You know what? I thought about that, but with it, all the other secret stuff that goes on, you know, like I said, and I'm sure maybe somebody from this area can call in
and verify what
you're
saying.
Yeah, but as far as I can tell, who needs all these white vans? Because they're painted out there. And if you drive by the plant, they paint for companies and stuff. They paint logos and stuff on sides of vans for companies. So these ones are finished and going somewhere.
So you think that suddenly there will be this mass swarm of white vans descending on every small town and city in the United States with the with UN guys in them taking over?
Well, you know, not necessarily taking over, just like martial law for like a Katrina disaster.
That would be taking over. Martial law definitely would be taking over.
Something like that, because, I mean, I still am astounded.
Let's stay with this for a second. Suppose the UN did that. How do you think the President of the United States would respond? I mean, he wouldn't be too happy.
He wouldn't be too happy, but he doesn't look like he's too happy now either.
All right. You're down as number 76, my dear. Thank you.
All right, and have a great New Year.
Right, and keep me informed on the white vans.
Cool, I will.
All right, later. We would not be a good nation to occupy. Americans just would not be good occupied people at all. We'd be, we'd behave just terribly. And so I would think anybody would think 25 times before attempting to implement any international mandate across the United States. I don't know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Bob from Greenville, California.
Hello, Bob.
I'm listening on XM radio.
All right, excellent.
Okay, my prediction. Okay, outer space aliens will come down to Earth and yell at President Bush for wrecking the environment.
I'm not putting that down.
You aren't. Why not?
Because that's a political comment.
Well, I'm a Republican. Why would it be political?
Well, because this is just one of those sort of opportunities to make a prediction and get a political slam in. That's why.
I keep dreaming this, though.
Do you really? Oh, yeah, right. Well, then dream on, brother.
Okay.
All right, thank you. See, that's exactly what I don't want. There's a perfect demonstration of what I don't want, and I'm not recording it. You know, you could tell right away. I mean, there's a certain glee in his voice. You could hear the glee in his voice as he delivered that. I mean, you knew damn well it wasn't something that some incredible something that really came to him in a vision. He sat back and cooked that baby up before he called. International Line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, hi. I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry. This is Randall. I'm calling from Alberta.
Yes, Randall.
And my prediction is that President Sharon in Israel will probably be out of office, and President Benjamin Netanyahu will probably come into office and make a preemptive strike on Iran, probably a... something similar to what they did to Iraq many years ago, and it would seem to make sense anyway outside of the intuitive feeling I have about it.
I'm a big fan of Netanyahu.
Yeah, actually so am I, but I mean I just have this strong feeling, even separate of my own natural feeling or inclination towards him, that he'll actually end up being president, which is coming to fore, it seems like anyway. Sharon may be getting a little bit old, and that's okay. He's a good man. He's a great man. But Benjamin Netanyahu is the man, and I believe that the United States would look on this in a way so that they don't have to get their hands any dirtier internationally or be seen in any worse light internationally. And this way, the Israelis will be able to have a preemptive strike, probably fairly successful on the nuclear program in Iran, and probably do a fairly good job. And Iran will probably not decide to do much back in retaliation to Israel for some fairly obvious reasons, and that's my prediction.
Yeah, you would think that nations around Israel would get tired of building nuclear plants and having them reduced to rubble.
Correct, and I'm surprised that they're doing it in such a laughing way, as if Israel is incapable of doing this after 15 years ago, proving that they're quite capable of doing this, no less now some 15 years later. And Iran is consistently talking about, giggling in a giggly, almost gleeful way, as you would put it, about putting rockets into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to mention that, I mean, it's like a dangerous thing. Israel, just pound for pound, is a very tough country. They don't kid around. The United States tends to want to back them, from what I can tell.
And Netanyahu's a very strong leader. I would compare him, thank you, to Maggie Thatcher in a way. I mean, there are some leaders around the world that that I identify with just because of their strength. Maggie Thatcher certainly was one of them. Ronald Reagan, I thought, was one of them. Benjamin Netanyahu, I think, is one of them as well. And I've sort of looked up to him, and it wouldn't surprise me but that he would again lead Israel. You never know. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Janice from Lockport, Illinois.
Okay, Janice.
And my prediction for 2006 is that two of our four living former presidents will pass away due to natural causes, and a third one will be diagnosed with dementia.
Wow. Okay. Got it. And it will be assigned number 78. Let me ask you this. How did these visions or thoughts come
up? Well, actually, yesterday when I was listening to the program, I wanted to call in, and my prediction was completely different from this. And then you said that, you know, don't have something that you're all set up with.
That's right.
That you should really just let it come.
That's right.
Well, two people called in about Castro dying, and it triggered something.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, it just triggered, and that was it. That's what I thought.
Then you, dear lady, are an example of exactly the right way to do it.
Oh, okay.
All right. See, now we've had examples of both. Thank you very, very much, number 78. That's exactly how you do it. I mean, something comes to you. You don't just, just pull something out of thin air just so you can get on the radio. But what we want here is a very unusually high hit rate of, well, very different sorts of things. And we're getting those kind of predictions this year. So I'm very pleased. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello? Oh,
yes, hello.
Hello, yes, I'd like to predict that
wait a minute.
Al Zarqawi will not be caught.
Okay, what is your name?
George from Sacramento.
Okay, George. And you don't think he'll be caught, huh?
No, yeah. Can I tell a quick story real quick?
Sure.
I was in the Navy. I served 6 years as a nuclear engineer, and I have a friend. We went through power school, through like all our school together. We're roommates. And he was stationed on the on the East Coast, on a fast attack submarine. And he was telling me, we're on terminal leave in Hawaii about a year ago. He was telling the story. We're talking about politics and the world and stuff. And I thought it was pretty interesting, so I thought I'd share it with everybody. They were on a mission, right, to locate a ship with Al Zarqawi, and they have the name of the ship, and they're to positively ID him. And they have, I guess, like microwave communications, a direct link directly to the White House and the Pentagon. So they found the ship. They positively ID'd Al-Zarqawi on the ship. They contacted Pentagon or White House, can't remember which one, and told them they had him. And they told him to let him go.
And they told him what?
They told him to let him go.
Let him go. All right. You know, I would hate to believe what you're just saying, but I want to back up what you're saying with another story. This was rather interesting, I thought. CNN the other day was running quite a serious story about bin Laden and the fact that he had never, of course, has not been caught. But they had a situation where our forces were within two-way, handheld two-way radio distance of bin Laden. They actually heard him on a handheld radio. Now, that would have meant that, well, he was probably in a cave somewhere or in hiding, and he had to be very, very, very close, and they didn't get him. They did call in airstrikes, but for whatever reason, they didn't get him. But that's how close we were. Now, there was a book written about it, and that was what the interview was all about. They were interviewing the author of the book, but he absolutely verified that they were listening to him pray and instruct his followers, all of this on a in the open on a two-way radio near the Afghan-Pakistan border, and we didn't get him. So I don't know about Zarqawi and not being caught and, but, you know, the story that caller just told, but indeed on CNN the other day, what I just told you transpired. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Paul in Cincinnati.
Yo, Paul.
A fellow Seven Life Path.
Yes, sir.
I enjoy Gwyneth McCants when she's on your show, and I know you're a seven. George is a seven as well.
Hmm.
But before I get to my prediction, can I ask you a question?
You may.
Enjoyed seeing you and Ramona on the ABC special about UFOs.
I guess that was the last special that Peter did.
Correct. You know, one thing I noticed is that when you do your show, I expected you to be sort of lounging in an office chair, leaning back, and but you're right up close to the mic and sitting up straight. And I mean, is that normal broadcast?
I have no idea. That's just the way I do. I sit up straight and I'm close to the mic. That's what I do. Whether everybody else does that or not, I don't know. I've always been kind of a loner in broadcasting. You've got to remember, I'm here in Pahrump, Nevada, out in the middle of the desert, and it goes up from satellite to, you know, from Pahrump, and then gets to L.A. and New York City, and then all over the world. But it's just little old me sitting here.